Hi, my name is Ben Richardson. I'm with AmCho in Hong Kong, and I'm very pleased to have with me today Paul Donovan, who is the Global Chief Economist for UBS Wealth Management. Hello, Paul.
Hello.
Paul's just given us a very fascinating talk at an AmCham event, which I think, if we could broadly describe it, is that from the big picture, is that the world economy is okay.
Yes.
Would you say it was a Goldilocks moment?
I wouldn't quite go that far. I mean, I think that we are seeing some pressures building in certain areas of the economy. So, for example, we're seeing some sign of pricing power starting to return. If you look at producer prices, which is the main measure of company pricing power, that's starting to pick up a little bit. Now, it's by no means alarming. I'm not saying we're heading into an inflationary spiral or anything like that, but it's not quite the Goldilocks just right moment. There's one or two things which policymakers need to pay some attention to.
Okay, I mean, if we just look, for example, at you talked briefly about bubbles in the economy. If we look from an Asian perspective, we'd say maybe it was China debt, it's cryptocurrencies people are looking at. When do these pose any systemic risk to the global picture?
China debt, no. I think it's a local problem. The debt is owed locally. That means that the Chinese authorities can control both the lending and the borrowing in that sense through policy, and I think it's very unlikely that they would make an error there which then created systemic issues. For the cryptocurrencies, I mean, this is clearly a bubble, and for some countries, some specific countries, when this bubble bursts, that could be quite significant because there'll be a loss of wealth. Effectively, with any bubble, what you do is you take money from lots of people and you give it to a very small number of people. And that concentration of wealth is one of the main characteristics of a bubble bursting. But the thing about the cryptocurrencies is that the financial sector is not involved in this. I mean, banks don't touch this stuff. It's considered too toxic. And generally speaking, the scale of the bubble is spread around the globe, which means that we're not going to see a systemic problem. You might get an isolated problem, the Korean housewives who've been buying, for example, or Kuwait, which has got quite a lot of cryptocurrency mining going on. Those are countries which might be vulnerable when the bubble bursts, but I don't see this as being a global systemic problem. It's not big enough, basically.
Right, so sort of an entertaining sideshow.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, just stepping back to your own profession, you spoke at the beginning about why economists shouldn't really give predictions. I mean, what is it, do you think, that's up with economics today?
So I think that we've essentially had two related problems. So the first is that in the late 1960s and the early 1970s, there was a shift in economics towards a very mathematical modeling approach to economics, led by the American economist and Nobel laureate Paul Samuelson. Now, I've got nothing against this, and the use of mathematics in economics is very valid, and it helps understand things. But the thing is, when an economist comes up with a model, there's lots of simplifying assumptions, because you have to simplify. And what the model is trying to do is to give an indication, a steer. And I think what has happened is that the simplifying assumptions tend to get pushed to one side and people only focus on the conclusion. That's part of modern communication. So that's the first point, that I think that that there's been an oversimplification of the results of economics in terms of how it's presented in the media, and that then undermines the confidence people have in economics when those oversimplified results don't turn out. The second thing, though, I think, is that, again, related to the first point, economists have become very bad at communicating. The language that we have tended to use is full of jargon. The mathematical economics is very dense. And economics doesn't have to be complicated. I mean, everybody makes economic decisions all of the time. They don't necessarily realize that's what they're doing. But, if you choose to buy this product rather than this product, if you choose to leave work early, if you choose to stay on at school and study more, all of these are economic decisions. People are taking them, and they're mentally going through the economic process. But economists overcomplicate this in terms of how they communicate it. And I think we, as a profession, have got to become a lot better at communicating clearly and simply in ways that non-economists can readily understand, so that they understand the risks and rewards of the decisions that they take.
Fascinating. I have to say, on an ending note, that before you came out to Hong Kong to give this speech, I did read an awful lot of your own blogs and communications and found them to be very, very, very accessible.
Oh, good. So that's what I'm aiming for. No, thank you.
And and quite amusing as well.
Thank you very much.
Okay, well, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.